This is a disclaimer. Unfortunately, there were slight technical audio issues with Lucy's microphone. So apologies in advance if you are hearing some words badly or not properly, or it's just a bit messed up. We do apologize, and hopefully the next episode we won't have this issue again. Enjoy the pod. Hello guys, welcome to the Black Spain Global Podcast. I am Lucy, and today, well, if you listened yesterday to our day 5 at Wimbledon Pod, you would know that Eugene is not here with us today, unfortunately. But luckily, we have one point, Anastasia from the Groundpass Podcast. Thank you, Anastasia.
Hi, everyone. Yes, you said it right. Yes.
But for those who are regular listeners, you guys may remember Anastasia. She joined us doing our French Open review pod, where we got cooked by the eager fans in the comments, by the way.
Ooh. You know, I didn't look at the comments. Should I go look at the comments?
Oh, girl, if you want a little laugh and a little break, I'll say just go and then just see and just have a little laugh, because we don't take this thing seriously. But thank you for the numbers, guys. The comments did, they may have been, you know, you guys cooking us, but it helped the algorithm. You know, we got a couple of subscribers and views, hit a couple of thousands. So I'm not mad at it, honestly speaking. Okay.
if they're looking.
Listen, if they're looking, then it is what it is. I'm not mad. So thank you, guys. But we are at day 6 at Wimbledon. I survived. I want to apologize yesterday for yawning on the mic, guys. I was extremely exhausted, okay? I even got to Wimbledon very late today. I needed the extra sleep. I feel like I deserve it with all the work that we've been putting in. So, yeah.
You did. No, you definitely did. Guys, if you have any little insight into what it takes to cover a tournament and all these matches and press conference, you will know that you deserve the rest. You deserve the rest, Lucy.
Thank you. Before we actually crack on, Anastasia, I just want to actually get your head around, like, this week at Wimbledon so far. How are you finding the matches? How are you finding the tournament? Like, what do you think? Like, how are you finding it?
You know, it's very interesting, because there's been a lot of sort of disruption. It started in a very interesting way with a lot of players, you know, withdrawing from the tournament really early. We got in a lot of lucky losers into the draw. Mm. So it started off very uncertain, but I love that about tennis. Like, I hate sometimes when you're just like, oh, you can just pencil in the winner and everyone just waits till we get to the finals. I'm like, okay, we all knew what was going to happen. I like a bit of excitement. I like a little bit of something just thrown into the draw. So I've enjoyed it. I love chaos, you know, let's go.
Yeah. I was a bit skeptical because I feel like this is the first Wimbledon in a while where the first rounds were not like crazy. Like, you at least get like 3-4, like, whoa, like matches and stuff. But I feel like as the tournament goes, it gets even like crazier. Oh, okay. Like, there's more entertaining matches. And which to me, I think it makes it even better, because there's more excitement. You know, you're getting closer to the end. You know, it's getting more intense. So you're getting draws that you would not expect, or entertaining draws. And the players are giving their best, because it's now getting towards the actual, you know, the end of the tournament. You know, the closer you get to the final, the more they're playing their best tennis, because they want it. They're hungry. So yeah, I'm not too mad at it. Honestly, I'm not too mad at it.
I love it, but because look at the women's draw, for example. Mm-hmm. I think nobody that anyone thought would win is still around. I mean, Rybakina is still around or whatever, but I think we're going to get a new winner. I think we're going to get a new winner. Coco's looking good. Mm-hmm. You know, so so it's exciting, but that's exciting. The anticipation, not, you know, knowing what possibly can happen. Exactly. I love that.
Yeah, I said it on our Wimbledon preview pod. We're getting a new winner for the women's. I think for the men, I had Sinner, who surprisingly is playing one of our players.
I mean, it's hard not. Yes. Well, we'll definitely talk about that. And it's hard not mm-hmm. to pick him. But at the same time, you're like, you never know. You never know. Look at the match with Carlos and Tiafoe yesterday. I mean, that could have gone any way. So you never know.
You never know. That man was down 0-30, nodded at his box and said, okay. And next thing you know, he won the match. Like that was crazy. But again, a big shout out to our community yesterday. Very entertaining. But let's get into day six. So the first match, unfortunately, because there was rain delays. Sorry, the UK is really embarrassing me right now. Okay. There were rain delays. You know, other matches were supposed to start at 11, but they didn't. But Shelton and Chappell, well, I kind of feel like their match really started today because yesterday they only played 5 games. They continued their matches. The two lefties balled it out on the number one court. Again, in front of Roger Federer, I kind of feel like he's following me now because, you know, I was on the way to press. He was there. He said, hi, I'm a number one court. You know, I don't know. But you're family, right? We are.
But you're family.
We are. I don't want to give, you know, too much like attention and stuff. So I let him have his shine, you know, leave him there because people will get confused. You know, they won't understand.
They would.
They won't. But yeah, it's funny because initially I was like, wait, is it there for Shelton? Because I couldn't remember if Shelton is part of his agency group. I know Coco is. Is Shelton part of his agency group?
I don't know if he is, but Federer is a part owner of On.
On, yeah. So I thought it was I remembered Chappell is from the same country as him, right? Or was he Canadian? Or am I getting the flag confused?
Yes, Chappell's Canadian.
Okay, wow. This is very unprofessional from me. My geography is not that bad, guys. I swear it's just the fatigue. I was like, wait.
We're gonna excuse it to the tiredness. We're tired.
Yes, please, guys. But because I was like, wait. Because I was confused. I didn't know why, like, he was there and stuff. But then I was like, is he part of the agency? But again, probably the On thing. But I saw him clapping for Chappell sometimes. So I'm kind of confused. Like, Federer, get it together.
I think it's the On thing. It's possibly to watch Andy if he did play on court one. I'm not sure.
Oh, that's a good shout. That's a very good shout, actually, because in terms of football, they played against England and they lost. So I thought he would be there, you know, like watching that. I mean, he was nowhere to be found during that match. And I know right now he's probably more upset because they lost. Shout out to England. It's coming home. Regarding the Chappell and Shelton match, very entertaining. Keep in mind that he hasn't really had a break because there were so many rain delays and stuff. So he had to stop and go, stop and go, stop and go. Lucky, to be fair, yesterday he kind of had a rest because, again, it was only 5 games. So it wasn't that long. But still, he did that. But yeah, the first set, I remember he went into a tie break. Very close, he lost that. And it's like losing that first set really filled him up. It was actually just crazy. And I kind of felt like, it's like Chappell gave up kind of easily on that second set. I had the vibe of like, he underestimated how much Shelton would level up. I don't know if he's, yeah. I don't know. And it was really weird because I'm like, okay, like, come on. You, fair enough, this is the second year, but he's done more than enough for you to see that he's not here to play. Like, he's here to win.
Yeah, and I think it also was, I mean, at least from what I was watching, it's almost like Chappell thought he would have a response. And whatever that wasn't working, and there was a bit of frustration there. That's, you know? So I think, you know, I don't know if he thought completely like, okay, maybe Shelton wouldn't bring it. I thought he just assumed his game would be enough, whatever idea, whatever plan he came up with. And when that didn't happen, he was kind of like, oh. And there was no switch around. There was no sort of like, let me try something else. I get what you're saying, because it felt weird. For a second there, it was kind of like, well, are you going to try anything else? Like, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, but either way, Shelton just breezed through. You know, it kept going up and down for both of them. But then after, like, you know, I honestly don't know how he did it, but he did it well, man. Like, I think Chappell just had no more in him anymore, while, like, Shelton was just going, like, crazy, to a point where his serves during that match was just amazing. Like, it was crazy. And then I remember seeing the serves and the shots, and then I was like, wait, let me go and check the stats here and see what we're seeing. I go, and then I see that he actually tied with Giovanni with the highest amount, the highest speed serve. And please keep in mind that Giovanni actually is a big server. Like, he's having all the attention right now because of his serves. So yeah, the highest serve speed is like 140 miles per hour. For those who wanted in kilometers per hour, that's 225.3 kilometers per hour, which is honestly crazy. And I actually did ask him about this. So I asked him, like, you know, I told him, like, your time with someone who's has such a big serve, and how that's affecting his game, and if he, like, expected that and stuff. And this is what he had to say.
Yeah, I've really been focusing on trying not to hit big serves during this tournament. You know, I think that 3 out of 5 sets, playing a lot of matches, you want to try to save your arm as much as possible. And my off-pace serves have been working really well. So I've been trying to mix it up and change it up. But I think it's important every once in a while to speed it up and show the guy that I can hit the serve this big. So you do have to respect it and be ready for it. So, you know, I know that I have that in my arsenal, and know that I have bigger serves than that also. But yeah, I've kind of just been trying to mix things up while I'm out there.
Yeah, so that was really nice to hear that, you know, about him putting out some strong serve and trying to mix it out. And he is right, you know, you don't want to tire it out too much. Especially that he's been playing like 5 sets and stuff. But yeah, Anastasia, what do you think about his match today and his performance today?
I mean, I think his performance today was phenomenal. But my thing with Shelton this tournament actually is I've been very impressed with his endurance. I always say tennis is an endurance sport. It's not a sprint, because especially when you get to Grand Slams and you're playing 5 setters and they can go for 3 hours, 4 hours, and he's played every day. And, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, because we like to put people in boxes, right? Yeah. And so Shelton has a big serve. So it's like, oh, okay, cool. It's all about his serves and he doesn't have any sort of movement or anything like that. But I really think Shelton is an all-around great player. He has his serve, but he has his movement. He has his athleticism and his endurance. Like, to be able to go back-to-back 5-set matches, play every single day, I think is very impressive. And I also love his... Shelton does this thing on energy. Court. His vibe, his energy, you see him talking to himself, hyping himself up. Then he'll go with the crowd and he needs them and he gets energy from that. I love the way he plays tennis. He makes it interactive and you feel like you got to be in it with him and you're all in it. So I love the way he plays. I've been really impressed with him this tournament. I mean, he could have just tapped out, you know, and just been tired. And nobody would have said, oh, okay, you know, that's a bad performance. He's doing great, but he's really worked hard to get himself to this position. And I'm excited for his next match.
His next match, he has number one player, Jannik Sinner. And it's funny because even during his press, he was asked about, you know, about him, the amount of matches that he played and stuff. And it's interesting how he said that he told his dad and his team that he actually wasn't tired. Like, the match, that match actually filled him up. Like, it actually gave him a lot of energy. And I was looking at him like, wow, like, okay, like, wow. You literally be playing like 8 sets and stuff and you're still feeling like this. Like, yeah, he said, like, no, like, he's ready to go again. And I think it'll be a little bit of, like, you know, Francis, when he was against Alcaraz, was the same thing. I think him knowing that, okay, I'm playing on center court, I'm playing, you know, one of the top players right now who is just a defending champion who just won another Grand Slam, and he hits well. I know what I can bring. We're going to give this. Like, I knew that match was going to be five sets and pure entertainment. Like, in fact, he even blew my expectations, and he blew a lot of people's expectations. Like, everyone was tweeting that yesterday. And I think it's literally going to be the same thing with Ben and Sinner as well. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. He said he's looking forward to it as well and stuff. Like, he's looking, like, during his press, he felt very confident and everything. And one of his press earlier this week, I said this on the last pod, he looks very focused. He looked like, you know, he even said that, you know, he's not staying at far away, sending the Wimbledon Village. He's keeping it locked in. Like, it looks like he's just about playing, practice, and staying focused. Like, he's really staying focused right now. And I'm super proud of him. This is, again, his second full year ever. And another great things about this, which we already mentioned, well, a lot of people mentioned, you know, his dad reached that round, fourth round at Wimbledon, I think is probably one of the biggest accomplishments, ever, 30 years ago. And it's so nice seeing that. It's nice seeing a black coach, a black dad being around again. You know, we're not losing the recipe. We had it with Richard. We are now having it with Coco. We're now having it with Ben. You know, we're having it with Alicia Parks. Like, really is nice seeing those type of things. And yeah, I'm really looking forward for that match, win or lose. I was hoping that he will rest, but he's actually playing doubles right now with McDonald's.
Let me check the score, because I was looking at it, but yes.
He is playing as recorded.
He is playing, and it's now in a... He took the first set, he and McDonald, and now they're in a second set tiebreak. They're still going.
Oh, gosh. Honestly, if he loses this one, it's fine, Shelton. Please go and rest. You have a big match tomorrow. You have enough matches
tomorrow.
But shout out to Shelton. We are looking forward to that. Up next, we have, I believe, Giovanni Péricard versus Ruusuvuori. Again, another hectic match. But as soon as he dropped that set, he came back up. He lost it from a set down. I think there's two or three like rain delays again. The rain was just crazy. So five sets are in round one, three sets are in round two, four sets in round three. So he's like, it's like he got his experience, you know, all around with that. This match, again, to be fair, it was for me to pick out that match because it was the same time as Shelton and Chapo, and it started later. It didn't start as early as planned. But one thing I did notice during his match was that, and a lot of people noticed as well, was during like his, it wasn't just about his first serve, it was actually about his second serve, which he was asked about during his press. And this is what he had to say.
I mean, I tried to play a different, I mean, target, to play wide or T or maybe on the body. I try to put a little bit of spin into the ball to get it a bit more secure than the first serve. And for me, it was last year, it was one of the big improvements for my game to have this kind of weapon, because when the opponent returned my second serve, I was not very good. So I have to think about how I'm gonna be dangerous on my second serve. So to add more speed, it was one of the main goal for the last year, and it works for now. But we'll see if against the top player it's gonna work.
Yeah, it's really good that he's thinking about that. He's like, and seeing how dangerous he can be. Most importantly, see how it was going to work with the players. He's really thinking ahead. I would love to pick up his coach brain as well. He did an interview a couple of months ago when he won the Lyon Open. He spoke a lot about his coach and stuff, and I would love to ask him questions about that. Maybe they'd be working on it. But yeah, oh, sorry, guys. Unprofessional of me. I did not... actually named the score of that match. So that match was 4-6, 6-2, 7-6, 6-4. So yeah.
Major announcement. Oh. Caroline Wozniacki is on her way to room two. Caroline Wozniacki next in room two.
I kind of like the interruptions because it kind of makes it gives. Yeah. Yeah. You're really at Wimbledon.
You're
it
really at that, Wimbledon. You know?
But
you're there.
Asia, what did you think of the match?
Well, about the second serve in particular, I saw this on Twitter. If you don't follow Gil Gross, he's a good sort of follow for technical, like, you know, stats and quotes and things like that. And he was saying Giovanni's second serve is 100. He was averaging 117 miles per hour with his second serve. But the big thing about that is that is a massive second serve. But crazy. The most important thing is that he wasn't getting as many double faults. And that's the big thing about usually what players do is that they go really big on their first serve and they kind mm-hmm. of come back down on their second. Yeah. But if you have a mm-hmm. massive first, then a massive second, like that is really, mm-hmm. really an incredible tool to have in your tool belt. And I'm really impressed with Giovanni as well, because he is not just his serve. I think it's, again, he's 6'8". He's massive. He's really big. So people just think serving, you know,
100 kg, has been by the way.
Up. Huh?
100 kg, by the way, because someone, a French journalist asked him like, okay, really your weight? He said, yeah, 100.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. But so, you know, it's, he is putting up the numbers, like he's breaking records with all of these serves in the matches, but he's also moving so well, you know, coming mm-hmm. into this match with Emil Ruusuvuori. Emil Ruusuvuori is a player who, you know, he comes in and out. Every time he is in, he can really make some big runs and like push some really big players. So I was really worried with this match. I thought, you know, how are we going to go into this? Like maybe it'll go five or something like that. But I was, after the dropped set, Giovanni really just took over and was so impressive with his movement around the court and also just being calm. You know, it's almost the opposite of Ben Shelton, where Ben is like, yes, and come with me and like, let's go. And, you know, Lepesh, as I'm going to call him from now on.
Okay.
He is very calm, collected, even his celebration at the end, you know, he just like shakes the racket and he just keeps it cool. Like he's a cool customer. I like his style a lot. So he's not just the serve guys. It's a lot more than the serves. And that's why I was excited about him getting into the draw. You know, I'm not going to lie. I was very sad when he didn't get through qualifying. And I thought, wow, this could have been his tournament. And then he came in as a lucky loser and proved me right. Like here he is in the second week of a Grand Slam, the first time at Wimbledon. You know, I'm very excited for his future, not just now.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. So I was, you know, I hate upset that Andy Murray was taking forever to let us know if he's pulling out or not. Because I was like, yeah, these times him pulling out or not had nothing to do because we thought that he was number one into like the lucky loser list. Like I thought he would be like the first, I think he was like third or something. But when he was waiting, because I remember Saturday before the tournament started, we were around the grounds at the practice courts and stuff. And he was still there training in the gym. So he was, I think, just like I said about Shelton, he was like mentally focused like on it. And I'm really, really happy for him. Another fun tweet that I actually saw myself, Julien Reboulet, I think if I am right, he is a French journalist for L'Equipe. And he tweeted, actually, I think he added some people and he found some stats on Giovanni's serve speed when he was younger. So at 12 years old, Giovanni was serving 164 kilometers per hour. At 13 years old, 184 kilometers per hour. At 15 years old, 202 kilometers per hour. Now, I said earlier that he hit that high number around 200 and something, and that was like 140 miles per hour. So you see at 12, 13, 14, you get an idea. Like this guy was hitting like 100 and 120 miles per hour-ish when he was literally 12, 13 years old. What was that at 12, 13 years old? tea at McDonald's and doing nonsense. Probably. I was not hitting that. That is crazy. But like you said, I'm really happy how you mentioned the other stuff, because yes, his serve is the big thing that everyone talks about. But it is important to point out the fact that he moved so well on grass. And it's funny because I watched him at Queens and I remember messaging my friends and telling them like, Giovanni's actually going to be a problem on grass. And even his match before Shelton, I was like, he's going to beat Shelton. And a friend of mine was like, nah, you're talking crazy. Like, what are you talking? I was like, I've watched both of his qualifying matches here. I am telling you, this guy is going to be a problem. Like, he has it. And what did he do? He even blew my mind. I did not even think he would even make it this far, but I'm not surprised, but it's like, it wasn't even in my mind that it could be possible, but not because he can't do it, but it just didn't click to it. But I'm not surprised that he's here, if you get what I mean. So I'm really happy for him. I think, well, at that time when we did the rundown, it wasn't sure about, even during his conference, it wasn't sure who he was playing next because they were still playing. Let's see if
I think they're still
Are they still playing? Yeah, we're still waiting. We're still waiting.
Yeah.
Let's see how they playing now. Oh, actually, it's confirmed. It's going to be Musetti.
Oh, it is.
Yes, Musetti just won his match 6-2, 6-7, 7-6, 6-3 against Comesana. And I think Musetti and Giovanni actually did play against each other, and Giovanni actually did lose to him. Yes.
Was that at Queens?
That was actually, funny enough, at Stuttgart on grass this year. So that's very, very interesting. Musetti on grass. Yeah, he does do well on grass, but the Giovanni that he's about to meet right now is not the Giovanni you're meeting at Stuttgart, sir. So
no, he has a lot more experience now. So
exactly.
Oh, now I'm excited about the match.
I am excited too. I thought they played against each other like a couple. I knew it was this year, but I didn't realize it was this close. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I think Giovanni's gonna whack him. I believe him. We got it. And last but not least, the last single match of the day, all men's today, by the way, it was Arthur Fils.
Roman Safiulin.
Yes, against Roman Safiulin. So Arthur Fils won the match at 4-6, 6-3, 1-6, 6-4, 6-3. What a battle. What a battle. Again, a match that was a bit difficult to watch because I was up and down, but I'm trying here.
So I watched a lot of this one, actually.
Okay,
and
tell us about it.
Yeah, this is the match of all three that I'm most impressed by, because Roman Safiulin is just that guy. He will pop up on the draw and he will mess it up. He's like, oh, your fave? Got it. Gonna take care of that. I think it was Paris Masters second round. He took out Alcaraz. There was another, like last year, at the end of last year, Roman Safiulin was just on fire, just taking out players left and right and going deep. So I've always seen him as just this tricky player. He's never been able to sort of sustain the level, but he'll just pop up from time to time and just like go through a draw. So when this came up, I thought, ooh, tricky, very tricky. And as the match was going, you know, I think it was tricky and R2 was in trouble. Like he was in trouble. I think he was 2-1 down. And I was like, oh no, here we go. His recovery is the most mature I've seen Arthur Fils in his whole, in as long as I've been watching him, because I think we forget, and I think it is easy to forget. He's a baby. What is he? 20? 19?
I think he just turned 20 or he's about to turn 20. I think we literally forget because his maturity and his face, he does not look 19. Yeah. So even when I see the girls going on like, oh my gosh, he's so cute. I'm like, girl, calm down. Like, that is a kid. He is 19. There's teen on his age. Yeah.
And, you know, so having him be at a deficit and be in a position of losing a match. He's also mm-hmm. not come into this tournament in good mm-hmm. form, really. You know, he's yeah. his Wimbledon yeah. so far has been great, but he's not coming like he's been winning tournaments or anything like that. So it was so impressive how he just dug in and played tennis because he knows mm-hmm. he had the game, you know, and it would have been easy for him to get negative or give up or, you know, just not be present. So that's why for me, this was the most impressive. I mean, Ben Shelton played great. Giovanni played great. It was awesome. But this for me was the most impressive win because it showed his mm-hmm. maturity and his mm-hmm. ability to play big boy tennis, like play like a man really, and like take charge of a match. So I was impressed because there was a moment there where I thought this might be running away from him. And he said, no, I got this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm so glad that you actually said it like that because I asked him about, well, the moderator asked him first, like, you know, how to feel about the match and stuff. And he knew what he had to do to go back up after the third set. So I asked him to go more into details about that. And it's kind of relatable to what you just said right now. And this is what he had to say.
I had one very tough third set. Montalia get down quickly. I was complaining a little bit about the wind and about the condition. And then at the start of the fourth, I said to myself, Arthur, now you shut the up. Sorry, but yeah, I said it. So, you know, you play and you stop complaining about everything. And we see at the end if you win this one, but at least you don't talk anymore. And I think it was one of the reason that I won it because honestly I was really locked in, really focused, and yeah, it helps me a lot.
So yeah, after you said to himself, "Shut the up," yeah, just bleeping out that.
Calm down.
Calm down. Like yeah, but like you said, it's really glad to see that because you are right. There's a lot of times where. He's been down in the past and he literally would just end up losing the match, which funny enough, the following up question about that was by someone else, would you have won this match a year ago? And he said, no, for sure, I would have lost it. So for him to grow that much, like you said, is just amazing. And him just pushing himself mentally. And it goes back to the point we'll be saying for such a long time that tennis is such a mental sport. It is such a mental sport. Like it's just, it's all like in here, you know, it's, yeah. it's the physical is there, but if you put your mind into it, and I feel like that's the best thing about what our players been doing. They've really been putting their mind into like the games and stuff and making sure that, you know, they're playing well and they can actually win this. So yeah, shout out to Arthur. And shout out to Giovanni, you know, both of them are making their fourth round, both Frenchmen, both young black guys, really, really happy for them and for them to make it that far around the same time as well, you know, like them yeah, sharing that yeah. joy together is really, like, I think even, was it Giovanni or Arthur? I think Giovanni at the end of his press was like, yeah, I'm really happy that, you know, he's going through as well. Who knows, we can probably even play together the semis and stuff, reaching all the way there. And honestly, anything is bloody possible, man. Like anything is
anything
possible
can right happen. Now. Yeah.
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 So, yeah. So that's it for the singles. We can quickly, you know, talk about some of the doubles. We had some here and there today. So we did have Coco and Pegula, who won 6-2, 7-3 against Danilina and Xu. Guys, you know, you guys know I'm not good with the name, so please bear with me. This is Eugene's job when he does that. He's not here, but, you know. Yes, yeah,
Eugene, so where are you?
Where are you, boy? Somebody need help with them names. Yeah, so they've gone through the third round. We also have Siniaková and Townsend against Gadecki and Lechemia, and they won 6-4, 2-6, 6-1. Shout out to Townsend. We also have Sarah Rani and Paolini, who won their match against Siskova Kologia. Woohoo! Okay, let me try here. Miriam Kolodziejczowa. And if I got that wrong, I completely apologize. I know someone's making fun of me listening to this, like, girl, you need to stop saying them names. And don't worry, I will stop once Eugene is back. So Sarah and Paolini won their match 6-1, 6-4. Who else? I think that's it for the doubles for now.
Asia. Yeah, yes. Asia Muhammad and Ben Shelton are still ongoing. So their matches are still going right now, yes, playing doubles.
Yes, so good luck to them. Hopefully they can get them in. Just one shout out for the juniors. We do have, oh, I had it here. I cannot find it.
Is it Oluwadare?
That's it. Yeah, Oluwadare. Yes, I actually walked past her, but because she's a junior, I didn't want to make it seem like it's inappropriate because obviously she's a younger player. But yeah, shout out to her. She did won her match here against Caitlin Rose, and she swung through, you know, 6-1, 6-2. I actually did want to go to her match, but it was doing press conferences. But yeah, it looks like here her numbers are looking really good. Net points looking good. First serves in 86%. Couple winners. She looks like that unforced error was a bit high, but yeah, it looks like her serves really helped her this match. But yeah, looking really good. Looking forward to hopefully I can be able to catch some of her matches here. But yeah, shout out to the juniors. But yeah, that's pretty much it for today. For now, again, some matches been delayed. There were some interesting upsets today. Non-black spin. I think we can talk about that very quickly. Ons Jabeur.
Iga Swiatek is out.
Iga Swiatek is out. I walked past Putin Serva. I nearly was like, yo, I nearly wanted to dap her up, you know what I mean? Respectfully. Iga's out. 6-3, 1-6, and 2-6, which is crazy. But then again, it's not really surprising, is it?
No. First of all, Putin Serva is coming off a title. She's coming off a title on grass. So true. She's no scrub on grass, you know, so she can definitely play on grass.
Mm-hmm.
But the way she played that match, because that was also another match I watched, that was clinical. She lost that first set.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know what it is? Unlike Shapo, where Shapo was like, what do I do? What do I do? Putin Serva was like, got it.
I know.
Understood. Right. And then she just executed so cleanly. Nice. I've never seen two sets played with such determination. Like she was like, this is what I need to do to fix the problem.
Mm-hmm.
She took those balls early. She was, you know, she was standing almost inside the baseline to take the balls early. Really great work. I was impressed with Yulia Putintseva. I was like, wow. Okay.
We need to keep an eye on her then, because if I'm correct, she could say, oh, so she, wow, Ostapenko next. That's interesting. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be interesting.
That's going to be an interesting match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mrs. Monfils took out, Ons Jabeur, 6-1, 7-6. I feel like Svitolina is probably one of the few active mothers that came back on tour that actually has been playing better than she did before.
Yep, 100%. I think she's playing much better than she was before. And this was another great example. Like, I think the first set was like 6-1. And then the second set went to the tie break. It was clean. You know, probably Ons wasn't playing well to start, but you know, Svitolina just came out. She's just been more aggressive. Like she starts more aggressive than she did before, and it really does help her a lot. So that was a good win for her. Ons unfortunately out, but
But to be fair, I didn't see Ons going very far. She didn't have, like, you know, the grace. And to be honest, I feel like it's okay for her, just, you know, cool down. But I hope everyone sees that as a way of, like, every woman goes through different things after giving birth, because, you know, a lot of people have a lot of talk, a lot of comments, a lot to say about the woman coming back on tour. So, you know, everyone's body goes different and it's completely normal. But either way, shout out to Mrs. Monfils for making it that far and taking out someone who's very comfortable on the surface. We've made it all the way to the finals here twice, back to back. So yeah, that is not that easy. So yeah, shout out to her. And as of the matches tomorrow, so tomorrow we have Navarro versus Coco Gauff on center court. going to be very interesting because Navarro was playing like crazy against Osaka. So I hope Goff and her team have done some nice game plans and focus a lot on how to beat that. Number one court, we have two matches back to back. I'm very sad about this because it means, unfortunately, one of our girls is going to be gone, which is Jasmine Paolini versus Keys. It's going to be interesting. I think the reason why it's going to be interesting is because this is going to be Keys' toughest opponent so far. Keys, who hasn't dropped a set yet. And I remember saying this on a pod. That was the same case last year. She went through Eastbourne till she lost at Wimbledon, I believe, to Sabalenka. And that was the only time she dropped a set. Like, she didn't drop till then. It's the same thing here. So Paolini will also have to work hard for this. But Keys needs to keep in mind that, you know, Paolini's been on fire. And then after we have, to me, I believe will most likely be the match of the day tomorrow, Sinner versus Shelton. But yeah, that's going to be interesting. I haven't released the rest of the order of the play. That's how you know that today I'm finally done early. But those are the single matches for now, tomorrow. But yeah, what do you think about those matches? Which one are you looking forward to the most?
I mean, it's going to be Shelton and Sinner. Like, you know, okay. I saw them play at Indian Wells and I thought, you know, I like seeing how players come back and play the same person. You know, I think Shelton lost that match at Indian Wells, but I wonder what has he changed coming into a match with Sinner now again? Mm-hmm. Like, what will be different? Will he have a different game plan? I love watching those sort of matchups between players. And I think Sinner and Shelton is a great matchup. And I want to see that match as much as possible. 100%. So that will be mine. But the close second, if not same level, has to be Coco Navarro. Because Navarro is tricky, man. She comes out of nowhere sometimes. And I think she gets a lot of flack. Like, people say, oh, she just plays the lower tournaments. I'm like, she's been building and growing and getting better. Mm. So I think no one should just think she's going to come in and make it easy, you know? But I think Coco, man, she can move.
You see how
Coco can move.
The last match?
Just, it was like butter. Like, again, forehands working, movements working. I don't know, you know, you're going to have to do a lot to take Coco out. So I'm leaning towards Coco in that one for sure. But it will be a tough match, I think. But yeah, those are the two tomorrow that I'm definitely looking forward to. And Madison Keys on grass, it's her home. She loves it. She loves grass. I think it will be tough for Paolini, but then Paolini is such she is my favorite, like, new entry into like the top of the WTA because she worked for it. And she's someone who I think every time I look at her, I'm like, oh, she's great on hard. And you're like, oh, no, she's great on clay. And now here we are on grass and she's in the second week of Wimbledon. Like, what is it? She's good at everything.
Yeah, basically.
And she's like 5'2", 5'3". She's so tiny. And you're like, how are you doing this? But no, she's I love Paolini. I love her energy. I just love the way she plays as well. So that's just going to be tough because we'll lose a player there.
Exactly.
But it'll be interesting to see how it goes, you know?
It'll be fun to see. And we'll be here tomorrow to give you all the updates on that. Anastasia will be joining us again. And I'm so looking forward to that. So yeah, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow at day 7 at Wimbledon. And I'm gonna get some sleep so I will be well energized and well nourished and ready to give you your pot. Thank you so much, Anastasia.
Yay.